I love the flexibility of language.
Yes, I would argue that Textus Receptus is the best version.
There are some portions of scripture in some translations that are very poorly translated.
You can get a lot of heresy out of a very accurate book without the Holy Spirit. Welcome to another edition of Table Talk. This is another truth nugget, and the topic that of our discussion today is going to be, what Bible version should I read? I'm sitting here at the table with Ben, Dave, and Nato, and I just thought to get us started, it would be healthy, I guess, for us to recognize the fact that there is a lot of controversy over what Bible I should read, what Bible I shouldn't read, and I just thought I'd open it to you guys. Why do you think that is? Why is there so many passionate feelings on both sides of the fence?
Well, the main reason, I believe, is some of these older translations are very good. Some of their source material is not controversial, whereas some of the newer translations are. But at the same time, new newer translations use, more often than not, modern English. I mean, they throw in the occasional old word, but all in all, they are far better to understand, and not everyone can read Old English.
I think another reason why there is a controversy is because whether or not this is actually the motivation is because there is an understanding that scripture is important, that the words contained in the book are significant, and so it does matter how those words are translated.
I think that also sometimes I can think of one particular version that many people definitely believe is the only one to read, and they they voice their opinion very strongly, and other people, whether it be out of curiosity or out of just rebellion, will use other translations and they just
sort of as an opposition
or they might go, well, what is wrong with these other ones? Let's go and have a look.
Well, let's just clear something up first. Is there any such thing as a perfect translation of the Bible?
Yes.
Yes, I would argue that Textus Receptus is the best version.
How about the spoken word of God? However, we don't have that in written form.
Mm-hmm. And we have Textus Receptus, but it's in Greek.
Yeah, I was going to say, how good are you with reading Greek? Actually, that's a bad question to ask you. You started a course to learn how to read Greek, didn't you?
Unfortunately, it's been sidetracked with my CPA study, but yes, I do know a little Greek, but certainly not enough to get by yet.
Yeah. But I think for most of us, learning Greek is probably going to be off the table. And so, at some level, we're going to have to pick a translation. And as far as my understanding goes, there really isn't any such thing as a perfect English translation of the Bible. They're all going to have at least some inadequacies in some areas, in some parts. Is that a fair thing?
I think there has to be. Because when you translate a word, for instance, let's say I use a word to Luke, this is a very, really bad example because it happens the other way around, that he doesn't understand, and I have to now use another word to explain what that word means. Well, I have a selection of various words that I could use to interpret the word that I used so that Luke can understand. Well, does that mean that any one of those words is a valid word? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And depending on my perspective or even the context of what I was saying, each one of those words could create a different picture in Luke's mind as to what the word actually means. And so when it comes to translating the scriptures, you got to realize that all of these guys are reading words that have multiple translatable abilities. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, there's going to be variations and even imperfections, because not only is there multiple word choices, but there's also life experience in the person who is doing the translating. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of God and a picture of what the Bible should be saying. And unavoidably that gets written in, even though I believe a lot of the people that did the translating were being very sincere and careful to use the right words and to not, miscommunicate God's words. They can't help the fact that they're still putting their own thoughts into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The best example of this would be the Greek words for love. There are several different versions in Greek, but we only have the word love.
Mm.
We have to put other things. For example, agape is one of the more common ones that will come up, and that is unconditional love.
Mm.
Whereas you've got things like eros, which is sensual love.
Mm.
But you've got all these different Greek words, but we only have one in English, mm. which you can't tell the difference between them.
Yeah.
I think we're... The where the Bible is perfect is that it explains itself.
Mm.
So even in, you know, for example, the Old King James, you know, sometimes it might be harder understanding some of the Old English, but we can compare different parts of the Bible to understand what it's saying.
Mm. And I think... Well, okay, let me ask it this way. Do you guys think that we are in danger of perhaps losing our salvation by what translation we select?
No. I think that we would all actually argue that you don't even need to read the book to acquire salvation. Mm. You know, obviously there are advantages in reading the book,
mm.
but God doesn't save us based upon whether or not we've read the Bible, and certainly not on whether or not we read the right translation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, we would burn you right now for reading a different translation.
Yeah, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I am reading New King James, and I may get kicked out for saying that, but no, it's okay. But what I'd just like to point out is a text in 1 Corinthians that I was looking at earlier today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and from verse 13, it says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There's a lot of concepts in there, but what I really want to draw out is the fact that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. If we are trying to understand the scriptures, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the teaching. The Holy Spirit is the one that is teaching. And so we may have inadequate translations, but that doesn't mean that we have an inadequate Holy Spirit to teach us.
Yes. In fact, I would go a step further than that, and I would say not we may have inadequate translations, but we do.
Mm.
You know, well, I think all of the English translations have their inadequacies. We should recognize that, and we should embrace that fact.
Mm.
But like you said, Nato, even though we might not have a perfect translation, we do have a perfect story.
Yeah.
And I think each one of those translations in their own way captures that story enough that no matter what translation you're reading, you can see the plan of salvation and you can be drawn to Christ
mm.
to receive forgiveness from your sins and to be entering into a relationship with God.
Mm.
So we wouldn't discourage someone from reading a translation that we might not ourselves prefer if that's the translation that's going to draw them to Jesus. Mm. But we would recommend... based upon what we can see to be the more accurate translations, because there's more benefit in those translations.
I mean, I love the Old King James for that, but if you can't understand it, you're going to have to rely on one of the other translations.
Yeah.
That being said, I would definitely recommend having it in your collection.
Hmm.
That way you can sit there and compare the two.
Hmm.
And often that's quite good. I actually have a collection of Bibles at home, both old and new. I mean, I've got English Standard Versions, the New Living Translation, some of the modern ones. I've got some of the old ones. I've got a Matthew's Bible, the Geneva 1560 version, Tyndall's Plowboy Edition 1534.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to compare and to see, because not all of us are Greek or Hebrew scholars, and that's the only way we can learn is with English English words.
And by the way, just you guys, how often do you find yourselves doing that, comparing translations when you're studying the Bible?
When I'm studying all the time.
Yeah, same. I don't think there would be a time where I sit down with a passage of scripture and I only ever study it from one translation. I use one translation as my basis, but I'm looking across translations because I don't know about you, but I love the flexibility of language to create concepts in your mind. And one of the reasons I particularly like some of the newer translations translations when I'm studying is because I'll see the concept from that angle and from that angle and from this angle. And as I'm looking at it from all those different angles, each one can create a mental picture, which gives you a fuller picture of the whole perspective that Scripture is trying to paint. And so it gives you, I think, a greater insight when you do the comparison study, because you're seeing multiple perspectives. Yeah.
I often have, when I have discussions with people that are very passionate, we often, in this conversation, we've sort of gone and avoided saying what translation we think is what, just because we don't want to affect anybody's bias based on the conversation. But just to give you one concrete example, I'll often run across people that say you must use the KJV and KJV only, because in their mind, that's the only one that is correct and the only one we can trust. I would generally say that while I love the Old King James Version, it is a very, very, very accurate translation, one that I'm very comfortable using. But like Ben said, it's not verbally, it's not accessible to a lot of people. And so that's why when I preach, and for most of what I do, I use the New King James Version, because it just makes it more accessible to the people that I'm sharing with. And I think that as long as we are doing what you're suggesting, Dave, and you, Ben, and like as we've all been saying, that look at different translations, we will understand the gospel better by seeing it from different angles. And ultimately, if you can spend the time, get a concordance, and actually look at what the original language meant, be it Hebrew or Greek, you get an even deeper understanding again. So I think it's more about being responsible with your Bible study. Don't just pick the things that sound good to you. Mm-hmm. Actually be responsible and study it properly in a way that's, you're going to find the truth that way if you study with an open heart. And like we were talking about before, the Holy Spirit will be the one that will teach you.
Mm. And just on that point, just to maybe put a little bit of the other side of the coin onto it too. Yeah. The inaccessibility of the King James language is actually a benefit in some cases. For me, I find it beneficial to use it as my basis because I don't understand the language. So it drives me to think about what I'm reading rather than just to read through it. Yeah. I can't do that with King James. I don't read Shakespeare. That's not me. Yeah. So when I sit down with my King James Bible, I don't read the words and think, oh, yeah. You know, I think, what in the world does that mean? And so I go back to the Greek or I go to another translation. And so it encourages Bible study when you're using. And so I'm not necessarily saying everyone should use it, but what I'm saying is there are benefits as well in the inaccessibility of the language because it drives you back to the source sometimes. It helps you to think rather than to just cruise through.
It also expands your vocabulary and knowledge as well.
Yeah, not that I use these and theirs in my general language.
Yeah.
But there's many other words. And
yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, you don't often get a chance to use them, and you'll often get funny looks when you do.
A man of experience speaking.
Yes, I was going to say, Ben is quite good at that, just so you all know. So, but I think that gives us a pretty good overview. Is there anything else that you guys would like to share about how we can read the Bible with safety and accuracy just before we wrap up for today?
First of all, pray. Without God's guidance.
No matter what translation.
Yeah, you can get a lot of heresy out of a very accurate book without the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, great point. Thanks.
It is set out to be the Word of God, so wouldn't we be wanting His guidance when we see what He says?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bible's one of those things. It's the only book where the author's present at every time it's read. Mm-hmm. So.
The other thing you should look at is individual study is wonderful. Try joining a small group. And if there isn't a small group, get your friends together and make one.
Great advice. Yeah.
Because we all think differently. I mean, Table Talk is an example of that. We've all come together. We all have different views, but we are greater as a whole than we are as individuals. And we come with, and as we go through it together, we gain a greater understanding than what we could as individuals. Mm-hmm.
Has the process of Table Talk, has it, do you guys feel that it's helped you grow in your understanding of Scripture, what we
Absolutely.
Do together?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. Every yes. single time I sit down with you guys and any people, in fact, over Scripture, I always learn something. Because, nobody else looks at Scripture through my eyes, and so everyone else has a perspective to offer me then. You know what I mean? It's not just like I sit here and I gain knowledge from Ben because he's super intellectual. No.
Which he is.
Yeah, which he is. But I gain knowledge from every single one of you because you all have a perspective I don't have. Mm-hmm. So I think this sort of thing should be done in every home.
Well, also, even if someone isn't necessarily putting forward a different viewpoint to what you are, just the way they word it might trigger something in your own brain and go, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll have to check up on that other thing because that fits in as well. So the different wording that people use, even if it's saying exactly the same thing, can trigger a different line of thought
for yourself.
Yourself to be able to think of new aspects of the subject.
Just on the Bible translations thing, I would strongly recommend when studying the Bible to always do that comparison thing that we were talking about with verses, because there are some portions of scripture in some translations that are very poorly translated. Mm. And if you don't actually do the comparison, you won't get to see the other options and be able to come to a educated decision as to what the Bible's actually saying in those areas. So, you know, like we've said, you can learn from all translations. But there are some that make some fairly crucial, in our opinion, errors. And to stay away from those errors, probably a good safety buffer would be to be comparing. And, no translation is immune from mistakes. But if we're using a variety of them, we can hopefully come to a fairly solid conclusion.
Yeah. And I think it is also very, very much worth mentioning that this is one of the reasons you'll hear us in this podcast talk over and over again about the nature of scripture being narrative.
Yeah.
And if we have a narrative structure, when we read scripture, we see how each individual portion fits into the narrative. If we are reading a certain translation and it doesn't fit the narrative of scripture, or it doesn't fit the character of God that we know is true from the rest of the trajectory that we see in the written word, then we can know that it's probably going to be an inadequacy in the translation, and so we can look further at that point. Yeah. So narrative is vital.
It'll either be an interpretation error on the point of the person who translated or on the point of ourselves reading. As we're reading it. We're thinking through with non-narrative reasoning.
Yeah.
Yeah, if a small piece of Bible seems complicated for you, go to another piece because it's generally much clearer there, and rely on the ones that are far clearer rather than the ones that are cloudy in order to clarify the cloudy ones.
Yes.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, absolutely.
But ultimately, I don't know where you want to finish this, but I'm just thinking, I think a great place to finish this is to say, ultimately, just get into it. You know what I mean? Like, just get into the Bible. No matter what translation you're reading, get into it, and you will be drawn to these things that we're talking about just naturally.
Yeah.
The deeper you go into scripture, the more you're going to want to compare, and the more you're going to want to search between the translations and find the one that you're most comfortable with using.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And no matter what you end up reading, it's still the same life transforming book that everybody else has been reading for thousands of years, and it still changes lives today. And I think all of us here are living proof of that. So on that point, we'll finish up for another episode, another truth nugget. Thank you so much for joining us for this discussion. Please share this with anybody that you know that you think would be interested. And also leave us a comment on the website. We'd love to hear from you. We look forward to seeing you next time, and have a great week. Bye.